We're going to continue this morning our sermon series, which is entitled Problem Child. Our thesis for this time of study through the life of Peter is that Peter had some problems with Jesus and that he didn't always understand what Jesus was trying to do. And we get that because Jesus was trying to do something that had never been done before. There was no prototype that was doing exactly what Jesus was doing. And so obviously it led to some times of misunderstanding. And what we're seeing is that as Peter, we're so grateful for Peter because when he had a problem with Jesus, he just said it. And then someone recorded it. And we've been able to study these problems. And we're going to continue that series today. Our thesis is that the problems that Peter had with Jesus mark the pathway that connect the actual ministry of Jesus Christ with the mission of the church. What are we supposed to be doing today as those who follow Jesus Christ? And how can we learn more about that by taking a look at the problems that Peter had? This morning, we're going to be taking a look at Matthew chapter 17, the first 4 to 5 verses. It's the account of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Peter, as we know, has been having some problems with Jesus. You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. And Jesus says, hey, I tell you, you didn't learn that just by paying close attention. God has shared something with you that you did not know. And upon this rock, this big rock, the rock of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, I will build my church. I will stack up little rocks because we know that Peter's name means little stone or little rock. And so there's this big moment where Jesus really confirms the role of Peter and the plan for the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's going to last for eternity. And then Peter has a problem with Jesus' suffering and he takes him aside and confronts him about it. And now Peter is told that he's a stumbling block. He's not a stone that's going to be set on the foundation of the church anymore. He's actually a stone that could possibly cause Jesus Christ himself to stumble. And so you can see by this point in the text that Peter is probably wondering, what on earth is going on? Am I a follower of Jesus Christ? Am I clear in my understanding that Jesus is the Messiah of the world and should be exalted as God? And why shouldn't that start now? And you can see how Peter is having some problems with Jesus. And then Jesus says this very interesting thing. He says, I tell you the truth at the end of Matthew chapter 16. Some of you standing here today will not die, will not perish until you see the kingdom of heaven come in power. And then the text says 6 days later, and we pick up the narrative here in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1-4. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, the big three, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transformed in front of them, and his face shone like the sun. Even his clothes became as white as the light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you want, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And we're going to take a break here in the text because this is Peter's problem. And as we're going to find out, as you know, there is no temple to Jesus. There is no temple to Moses. There is no temple to Elijah. If you go on and read the text, you'll see that this was not a good idea. You see, Peter's problem was, why can't every day be, this is what I'm talking about. Why can't every day be like today? You looking amazing, all bright face and white clothes and powerful on the top of the mountain, and powerful prophets from Israel's past are coming and conferring with you, and they look amazing too. Like, hey, let's permanently install this. Let's institutionalize this. We've had the temple for all these years, and that's great, but it's nothing compared to actually being able to come to you at this mountain and talk to you and find out what you want and worship you and please you. So let's build shelters here, and then further down the hill, we can set up a popsicle stand, and we can have parking down there, and maybe we can even charge admission, and we can build more, and then it'll always be like this. Why can't it always be like this, where you just reveal yourself for who you are? And some of you might be feeling that way about today. Why can't we always meet in a setting like this? We're grateful for what God has provided for us. It's absolutely wonderful, but this view is amazing and it's fun to drive out into the countryside. Why can't we always have the church pay for lunch for everybody every week after church? Why can't we have cannonball baptisms? Like, that would be amazing. Why can't it always be like this? Why can't we always come to this place? And this would be like our special place, because some of you are making decisions of faith today and we're going to make a memory here. Why can't it always be here? This is Peter's problem. Why can't we stay here on this mountain forever, where your glory is plainly revealed and where you are honored and worshiped by powerful figures from Israel's past? Well, this is Peter's problem. We know that that's not what happened. There is no temple to Jesus. There is no temple to Moses. There is no temple to Elijah. It didn't happen, but we understand why Peter wanted it to be a special place. How did Jesus help him with this particular problem? What did he teach Peter on this day? Actually, God the Father himself broke in on this one. We've been looking at the text, how Jesus has been confronting Peter with the various problems that he has, but here we actually have a divine pronouncement from God the Father. And he says, while he, Peter, was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son. I take delight in him. Listen to him." What Peter needed to understand is that the gospel message and the power of Jesus, it's not about a place, it's about a person. And we're going to get there when we take a look at what God actually says here, that the gospel message and the power of the kingdom is about a person and his people, not a place. Take a look at what God says here. He says that I take delight in Jesus Christ. He is my son. You were on your way to the Little League ball game just this past weekend, and this soccer mom cut you off. And then she took your parking spot. And she got out of the car with her little troopers who were also going to be playing ball that day. But you got your kid into the park, and you got him on the bench, and the game gets going, and your team's doing okay, but you're behind by a couple of runs, and you know that your best is not your best today. You're going to need something special to happen. And your son gets up to the plate. Two men on, two out. And he does something that you just knew he could do, and you've been waiting to see this. You saw the pieces there. You saw it in his swing. You saw it in his stance, but he lacked a little confidence. The ball comes right down the middle, and he puts it out over the shortstop's head, and it's a stand-up double, two RBIs, two guys score. And you are beside yourself. You've been waiting for this. You knew it was there. You've been living for this day since the day you heard it's a boy. And it just happened. And you're this dad. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Come on, yeah, woo, that's my boy. And as you are celebrating, as you should be, there is somebody else who is celebrating too. And you, while you stop for breath, you hear some other person also cheering and yelling because you are delighting in your boy. The pieces have come together. And you stop to take a breath and you turn to your left and it's the soccer mom. She knows your boy from school. And she's seen him on the playground, and she knows how much this game meant to him, and she knows how much it meant to him that he would make his dad happy. She too is standing and cheering. Now, not quite the way you are, but that's what I'm talking about. Now, you didn't like this woman. She cut you off when you came into the Little League ballpark and she took your favorite spot. But now she too is cheering on for your boy and sharing in your delight. Because that's what this is. And instantly, you say to yourself, she can have my parking spot. At the end of the day, if she's going to come to the games and cheer for our team and cheer for my boy, I hope she's at all the games. She can park wherever she wants. Because when it comes to people sharing in my delight with my son, who see my son the way I see my son, who delight in my son the way I delight in my son, we're going to get along just fine. We're going to get along just fine. This is how God feels about his son. Of all the things he could have said about Jesus Christ, "This is my son, you better obey him because he'll put the cosmic smackdown on you if you don't, because he totally can, because he was present at the day of creation, and I'm talking about right now. You could have said that. That too would have been true. This is my son. He can summon legion upon legion of angels and take over the whole planet if he wanted to right now. He didn't say that. There's so many things he could have said about Jesus Christ, his boy, but he says, I delight in him. And that is the church's job. We join the Father in his delight of the Son. God is at one end of the chasm that is caused by our sin. We're at the other, and Jesus Christ spans the gap, and we are delighting in Jesus Christ and affirming that he is what makes our relationship with God possible, because it's not about a place. It has nothing to do with the ball field. If you see that woman in the grocery store, she's still your friend. It has everything to do with the fact that she delighted in your son. It's about a person and his people, not a place. And God delights in his son, and together with the church, we all delight together. The second thing that God says is, listen to him. Well, if we had to summarize the message of Jesus Christ, there's a number of ways we could do it, but probably one of the easiest ways to do it is to take a look at the last thing he ever said before he rose into heaven and gave his mission to the church. And he said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Something else he shared with his disciples that we're going to do today is do this, participate in communion, in remembrance of me. It's the two great commands of the first century church. Go and make disciples, teaching obedience and baptism. Show your obedience and baptism through the communion and the fellowship that you share. Listen to his words. If you want to know what delights God, find out what Jesus has to say about being a Christ follower and a member of a church, and you will join in the Father's delight. So what does Peter do? Well, what's amazing, and it's been so much fun looking at this, is Peter wrote about his experience on the Mount of Transfiguration in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. This is Peter. Many years have gone by, and he's reflecting and sharing and writing about his experience when he actually heard the voice of God. He wanted to institutionalize and create a place to be holy, but he found out that what God wanted to do was actually create a holy place in him, that he was the holy place. Here's what Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21, talking about his experience on the mountain of transfiguration. For we did not follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, a voice came to him from the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son. I take delight in him. And we have heard this voice when it came from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word strongly confirmed. You will do well to pay attention to it, as to a lamp shining in a dismal place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. He's saying exactly what he heard from Heavenly Father himself. Listen to him. Peter's saying, you would do well to listen to him. First of all, you should know this. Well, where do we hear the words of Jesus Christ? He's about to tell us. You should know this. No prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what does it look like when we do what he says? Peter wanted to create a building where Jesus could be institutionalized and worshiped forever along with Moses and Elijah. He learns that it's not about a place, but rather a person and his people. And you know what the building of God looks like? The building of God looks like a group of people saying and doing the things that Jesus said. That's the building. Peter went to build a tabernacle so that Jesus would stay in one place where God's presence could always be found. And what he found was that the place that God wanted to be found was in Peter's life. and in the life of the church. There is no place that defines the what God is doing on the planet outside of the work of people who have made declarations of faith, who are listening to the words of Jesus Christ, repeating them for themselves, and doing the things that he says we should do. The building looks like people speaking and doing with the power of the Holy Spirit. As we move to conclude our message this morning and into a time of communion, we're going to take a look at a passage that Jesus shares with us regarding communion. But here's the charge. Here's the application. Here's the opportunity that we have this morning. It's so wonderful to see so many of you here this morning. Thank you for coming. I don't know a number of you. You're here with your friends or you're here with your families to validate their decision to be baptized. Maybe you know what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't. But I don't want to miss this opportunity to share the gospel very quickly, very briefly, in light of this amazing text that we looked at this morning, which is that the building of God looks like a person, looks like people who say and do the things that Jesus said we should say and do. And if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, it's a very simple conversation between you and God, and it goes like this. Heavenly Father, I understand that there is a gap between you and me. We don't get along the way I'd like to. I have problems. I have confusion. There is sin in my life. I have done things that I know have shamed myself and you. I ask your forgiveness for those things. I repent from those things. And by faith, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I join you in your delight of the one that made possible a relationship that you and I can have. And then if that's something that you would just like to pray right now, or if you've already prayed, or maybe you've been a Christian for a while now, we're simply going to do two things today as a church. That is such, it is such a joy to be obedient in these ways today, because they are exactly what Jesus asked us to do, which is, he said this. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he, Jesus, was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And as the elements are being passed this morning, you might be wondering if this communion is for me. I'm not a member of River Church. I've never been here before. I'm visiting from out of town. I'm not sure if I'm welcome into this fellowship. Please understand this. The Lord has set this table. This table is much bigger than River Church or your involvement here. This table represents those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if that's you, then we ask you to draw up a chair to this table and receive communion with us this morning. The text goes on to say in 1 Corinthians regarding communion, "In the same way after supper, he also took the cup, and Jesus says, 'This cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" There's two things that Jesus asks everybody to do. That once they have come to faith, that they would take part in a service like this, where they would take these symbolic elements and ingest them, own them, reflecting on our need for salvation and the joy that comes with it. And then for those of us who have made that private and personal decision to become a person of faith, to become a follower of Jesus Christ, to delight in the Son of God, Jesus says that in obedience to his command, we should be baptized. And so after communion today, in just a few moments, and the singing of one final song, we're going to make our way down to the water. And baptism symbolizes a number of things, but the most important thing that we should understand right now in this time of communion is that baptism is a sign of our obedience. God spoke from heaven and said, "I delight in my Son. Listen to him." And the church never draws nearer to our Savior than in those moments when we actually listen and do what he says by taking communion together and celebrating baptism. It's why we're having a party to follow. That's why we're going to share a meal. There are only so many days when you know that you know that you know that you are expressing the same delight in our Savior that our Heavenly Father always has for Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be obedient. It is in our hearts to be obedient. It's in our minds to be obedient. But not every day looks like an obedient day. Today, Father, we have heard clearly from your word. We're so grateful for this problem that Peter had. We're so grateful for your voice from heaven that said, This is my son. Delight in him. Do what he says. And here we are. Here we are. Father, our delight joins with yours this morning. And as your people are obedient, we know that your church is strengthened and will grow. We're so grateful for this opportunity to receive these elements which symbolize the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We ask your blessing on our time together this morning and on your church as we take communion. We ask these things in Jesus' name.